I do welcome you this morning with all of my heart, and today is not just another Sunday, as Kisha mentioned earlier, praising in our praise and worship. I believe heaven has marked this moment, and the Holy Spirit is ready to move in this place. Amen? So lean in and expect God to move and to prepare your spirit for more today as we go into the Word. If you have your Bibles this morning, please turn with me to the book of 2 Samuel. The book of 2 Samuel in the Old Testament. I want to bring you a message from this Old Testament story, and we'll end up in the New Testament in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. But I like to use this story in the Old Testament today because it has a powerful truth in it. And last Sunday, Pastor Adam, he showed us that battles are not won with chariots and spears. They are won whenever we bow down low, take off our sandals, and stand on holy ground. Joshua, he wasn't smart enough, he wasn't strong enough, and he wasn't even strategic enough to bring those giant walls of Jericho down. But the moment that he worshiped, God stepped in. And when God steps in, victory is already sealed. I mean, some of you have been fighting battles in your own strength, marching, but just never really seem to be able to move forward. But what you need is another plan. You need the power of the Holy Spirit to fill your life, to let you fly like wings of eagles and walk and not grow weary and run and not stumble. Because your home, as Pastor Adam mentioned last week, is a battleground, can be a battleground. Your marriage can be a battleground. Your mind definitely is a battleground. And the only way to win is to let the Spirit of God rise up within you and to fight through you. Joshua's sandals off moment, his way of saying, Lord, I just surrender to you, the filling of the Spirit, God's way of saying, I will be your strength, Joshua. Because without the Spirit, you're just going to walk around in circles. But with the Spirit, though, you'll be able to walk in victory. Without the Spirit, you'll just be empty. But with the Spirit, you will begin to overflow. And Pastor Adam said, make your battlefield your holy ground. I want to say today, make your heart his dwelling place. And let him fill every room of your soul. Because when the Spirit comes, he doesn't necessarily come quietly. Sometimes he comes with a sound of a mighty rushing wind. Not the sound of fear, for sure. Not the sound of defeat, but a sound that can shake the earth, literally a sound from heaven. That's where we're going today, church. Today's message is titled, A Sound from Above. But before we begin, let's make our own sound rise above and shout with me this morning with hearts full of grace and the love of God, Psalms 150, verse 6, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come to you hungry, desperate, and ready for the move of the Spirit. We don't want just another service, Lord. We want an encounter, a visitation, a fresh outpouring from heaven. So shake our hearts, Father, and fill our faith and fill us again with the overflow of your Holy Spirit. Lord, tear down those walls and break those chains and silence every voice that the enemy throws at us. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. And amen. We'll begin reading at verse 17 in 2 Samuel chapter 5, which reads, when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines went up to seek David. And when David heard of it, he went down to the stronghold. Verse 18. Now the Philistines came and spread themselves out in the valley of Rephaim, which the valley of Rephaim means the valley of the giants. Verse 19, then David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up against the Philistines? You know, when the enemy comes against you, it's probably a good idea to kind of go and ask God what you should do, instead of just going off on your own initiative. I mean, telling everything and saying everything the way you think they should hear. Maybe we should inquire of the Lord more often. I spoke 2 weeks ago when Joshua forgot to do that. Verse 19, will you give them into my hand? And the Lord said, David, go up, for I will certainly give you the Philistines into your hand. Every time David asked a question to God, and every time that David went into battle, God said, go, go, go. But this time in verse 22, God said not to go. Verse 22, he says, now the Philistines came up once again. Everybody say once again. Which means it's coming back around again. And spread themselves out in the valley of Rephaim. Verse 23, when David inquired of the Lord, he said, you shall not go directly up. Every other time God told David to go, except for this time. He said, circle around behind them and come at them in front of the balsam trees. That's why you need to keep praying. You shall not go up. God said, come up in front of them of the balsam trees. Or maybe your Bible says mulberry trees. Verse 24, it shall be when you hear the sound of the marching in the tops of the balsam trees, then you shall act promptly. For then the Lord will have gone out before you to strike the enemy of the Philistines. Now, the King James Version says in verse 24, it says, and let it be when thou hearest the sound of going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that thou shalt bestir thyself. Stir thyself. Bestir. Stir up. It means stir up yourself. Don't just sit there and say, well, I'm just going to see and wait what God's going to move me. I'm just going to wait for that moving. It says stir yourself. Stir up yourself. Advance quickly. The Lord will go out before you when you hear the sound of going and the wind going through the tops of the trees. It means that the Lord's angel armies have gone out before you into your battle to strike the camp of the Philistines. And I like the fact in this passage in verse 17, it said, when the Philistines heard that David was anointed, which tells me that the anointing doesn't just affect us, but it affects our enemy. That any time God anoints you, and you are anointed, and if you are a believer in Christ, then the anointing is for you. Jesus said himself in the book of Luke chapter 4 verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind and to set free those who are oppressed. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me. And we are the body of Christ. And so we are anointed. And you and I, no matter what part we play in the body of Christ, we have an anointing. And just like David, that makes the Philistines, or in our case, the enemy, know that there is power. The anointing power that is upon us that is greater than the power than they possess, our enemies possess. And when the Philistines heard, when they heard that David had been anointed, they sought him out. We've got to kill him. We've got to get him out of the way. Most of the time, an attack from the enemy doesn't mean that you've done something wrong. it usually means you're doing something right. I've heard the saying once that if you don't come face to face with the devil, you may be going the same way he is. And when the Philistines heard that David had been anointed, they all rose up. And David inquired the first time. He was working in his anointing, and God told him to go and defeat the Philistines, and he did. But the second time, God said, "Do not go up," which tells me that you should inquire when you go to pray, and when you go somewhere to pray, to don't do all the talking and say, "I'm done." But after you've prayed, and after you've talked to God about your problem, and the problems of those you care for have sought you to pray for them, listen. Just sit there and be still. And just listen. Especially if it's a problem that you're facing again. Because the Bible said in verse 22 in our passage, they came again. So the enemy's not going to quit coming. We just need to get that fact in our minds and in our spirits. The Philistines set up again, meaning that it is a reoccurring problem. Listen for the voice of God. Because God is never without a plan, and he is never confused. Now, you and I may be confused about the battle that we may be fighting. We may be confused that we see the enemy coming back again and again. It's like, wait a minute, God, I thought we had this taken care of the first time. What's it doing coming back again? He's going to do that because you are anointed. But God is not without a plan concerning the battle that you're fighting for you or your family, and for your life, and for your purpose, and for your call that God has in your life. Because God has a plan for you and for me. And God said to David, you're about to take the enemy by surprise and wipe them out. But you're not going to go out like you used to before, because they're used to that. But let it be, when you hear the sound of the moving, don't move until you hear something from above you. You're going to hear the sound of moving on the tops of the balsam trees or mulberry trees. You're going to hear this sound, and you're waiting on a sound from above. Notice that you're not waiting on the enemy and what the enemy's going to do. A lot of people go around saying, well, I wonder what the devil's going to do next. You just never know about that guy. He's tricky. We're not to wait on the kind of weapon that the enemy is going to use next on us. You and I are waiting on a certain sound from above. There's an invasion of heavenly warriors that are coming from heaven down to earth. And before they hit this earthly battlefield, they're going to come through the tops of the trees. And when you hear those angelic armies coming through the tops of the trees, you stir yourself up and you move out with that wind. And the enemies that have come against you, they're going to hear one thing, but you and I are going to hear something totally different if we wait on the Lord. And when you hear the sound of the moving in the trees, you move. To the enemy, it's just going to sound like a bunch of rustling leaves and a bunch of creaking tree branches. But to you and me, we'll hear what the enemy cannot hear. We'll hear a sound from heaven. And it will sound like a mighty rushing wind. You know that wind that we sang about this morning in praise that you guys always sing? It's going to come like that. It's a reality. We don't just sing those songs because they have nice lyrics. We sing because there's truth in those songs. Going through the tops of those branches. And it will be like the footprints of horses, like chariots of fire, horses of fire, exactly like those who picked up Elijah and escorted him to heaven, exactly like those who encircled Jehoshaphat and defeated the army that he was going to defeat against by singing praises to God. They're going and coming out of heaven, fighting the battle that you and I have been fighting again and again and again. And they will come through the trees. Go with the wind. Yield and follow the direction of the wind of the Spirit. Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 6, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from and where it's going. And so is everyone who is born of the Spirit. The Spirit goes wherever direction He wants to go. And you and I are just to go with the wind. Now, the enemy is unable to hear the sound of victory that we hear above our heads. It's a sound that only a praying person can hear. It's a sound that only a praising person can hear. Praise before battle, as you heard last week from Pastor Adam. God is sending His angelic army to fight for you and to me, and you and I are about to win a war where the enemy keeps coming against us over and over and over again. We need to learn in our spirit to hear a sound of the moving of the wind in the balsam trees or mulberry trees that's greater than the sound of fear. That's greater than the sound of circumstances. That's greater than the evidence that we see before us. That's greater than the enemy's intimidation of us. There's a sound in the tops of the balsam trees in your ear, in your spirit, that your ear can hear, in your spiritual ear. And when you hear that wind, you've got to go with that wind. And the enemy will be defeated to destroy your enemy. If we can only learn that and be open to that and surrender to that. The United States Army was attacked by Japan at Pearl Harbor. And because of the devastating attack at Pearl Harbor, the Japanese held the upper hand in the Pacific Rim. Everything that the United States Army and Navy and Air Force and Marines tried to do, somehow the Japanese knew what they were going to do before they would do it. It's a historical fact. They could not figure out how the enemy would intercept their messages. The enemy would somehow know exactly what our military was going to do to try to win victory in the battle. And so what they did is they finally realized that many of the Japanese soldiers had learned English. And many of them had been educated, even in the schools and colleges in the United States. And they knew how to speak our language. And because they could speak our language and knew it, they were picking up and easily able to decode the messages that were being sent by the radio to the troops. So they would listen. They knew the language. They would easily decode the military orders and thereby know exactly what the military was going to do. And once they knew, they would start setting up ambushes to these planned attacks from the United States. And they were destroying us. That is, up until February of 1942. A man by the name of William Johnston, who was a civil engineer and a World War I vet, he had an idea, and so he went to a general friend of his, and his idea was, what if America could come up with a secret code that the Japanese cannot break? What if they had a language that was so rare and so unique that the enemy could not decode it? And so they gathered a special meeting of the generals to talk to this man about his idea. And his idea was to take 27 men from the Navajo tribe that spoke the Navajo language that had only been spoken on the Navajo reservations. And the language had never been taught at any school. The language is a language that only the tribe of those Indians knew. And the reason this man knew about it was that he was the son of a missionary who had been raised all of his life on the Navajo reservation. And he could speak the language. And so they got 27 Navajo Indians, and they gave them two-way radios. This is a historical fact. And the way that America defeated the Japanese, and the way that the battle started to turn, was when these men, in a language that only they knew, would give directions back and forth, and the enemy would try to decode it. And they couldn't decode this message, because they would say, "Wait a minute, what's this? I've never heard this. What kind of language? They didn't teach this in school. I've never heard this taught in college before." The enemy could not break the code. And these men were called wind talkers. And that's what I've come to tell you this morning. They were called wind talkers. In the spiritual realm, hell was winning the battle. Demonic forces and Satan had the earth in bondage, but Jesus died on the cross for our sins and rose again. Jesus said in John chapter 16, verse 7, he said, "But I tell you a truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go away, I will send him to you." And then Jesus also said in Luke chapter 24, verse 49, he said, "And behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you, but you are to stay in the city until you are clothed from power from on high." And he gave them a special language, and he gave them a special anointing. Jesus gave them this power to defeat the power of the enemy in their life and in our life today. Now, if you want to turn with me over to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place." Verse 2, "And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind that filled the whole house while they were sitting." There it is, the moving. The wind, like we sang about earlier, the upper room. Where did this wind move in the Old Testament story earlier? Up in the trees. "And when the wind started moving, the mighty rushing wind filled the place where they were sitting." Verse 3, "And there appeared to them tongues of fire distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them." Verse 4, "And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance." They became wind talkers. They were filled from a sound from above. They were filled with the Holy Spirit as a mighty rushing wind filled that upper room. They began to speak as the Spirit was giving them utterance. The Spirit came upon them. They opened their mouths and they became wind talkers. A language was formed that day that Satan could not decode. A language that was given by the Holy Spirit that defeats the powers of Satan and sin and bondage. He cannot understand the prayer language. The Holy Spirit gives it. And it's not gibberish. And it's not jabber. It's not nonsense. And it's not crazy emotional fanatics. It's the power that goes to you from the Holy Spirit playing through you. It's the enemy. Cannot decode it. It's a language he does not understand. It cannot stop and it cannot be resisted because it brings victory into your battle. Maybe some of you believe that today. If you do, can I hear an amen or a shout from praise? I don't know. Maybe I'm talking and you don't believe it, but I come to tell you that 3 years ago, in my early morning quiet time with God, I began praying with the sound from above. And it's become so meaningful to me. And I'm not ashamed of it. The devil has intimidated me. Not to tell you about it, but today I stand strong before you. And I refuse to let the devil intimidate me and shut my mouth and tell me that I do not need to pray in the Spirit. And so don't let the devil cheat you out of praying in other tongues as the Spirit gives you utterance. Well, I don't know about that stuff there, Pastor Eric. I like you, and I like your little sermons and such over resurrection and the cross, but now you're going a little bit too far. We all know that speaking in tongues is going a little bit too far out there. Flip over to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians 14. You see, when you begin to pray in the Spirit, you begin to pray in a heavenly language. It's the language of intercession and worship. And then something happens in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2. It says, "For one who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands but his Spirit. He speaks mysteries." The Apostle Paul just said that in Scripture, that you and I get a secret language that nobody understands. You're not talking to people. You're talking directly to God. And so when you become a wind talker, and you let that mighty rushing wind fill you that we sang about earlier in this service, when suddenly that wind is blowing through the balsam trees, the mulberry trees, the sand from above, and then out of your mouth comes out the river of living water, you become a wind talker. The wind talkers, they won the war for America. And it didn't take a bunch of them. It just took 27 of them. And I know everybody in the body of Christ may not be open to this, but just think if we had 27, what victories we could have. You can make fun of me all you want to, but when you get cancer, you want the wind talkers to pray for you. When a loved one is in the hospital fighting for their life, you want the wind talkers to pray for them. You see, the devil wants to rob you personally of this secret language. He's made a mockery of it throughout the ages that God gave on the day of Pentecost. And the devil knows how powerful it is. And so what's he do to get you to shut up? He makes a mockery of it to where you will shut up. You know, it's always kind of bothered me whenever I would read the Bible through, and I came upon the books of Acts chapter 19, where Paul is coming across some new believers and found that they were baptized into repentance, and they were baptized believing in Jesus, which is called a Christian. But then he says, "Have you received the Holy Spirit?" And they didn't understand or know about the Holy Spirit. And when Paul laid hands on them and prayed for them to receive the Holy Spirit, they began speaking in tongues. That always caused unrest in my soul. Because whenever I came across that passage, I would think, "Huh, why didn't that happen to me?" Until it did. And it wasn't until I fully surrendered to God and asked to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because you see, God cannot reside where sin is still there. Now, I don't stand before you today saying I am sinless. But when you surrender and ask to be forgiven and to repent daily and be cleansed, then that provides the communication of God, and the Holy Spirit feels welcome there. Paul is saying this is a prayer language. This is wind talking and speaking language. Speaking this language isn't all about coming together as a church, and everybody's getting up, and everybody comes to get blessed, and everybody's just going on and on and on, speaking in tongues throughout the whole service. It's not about that. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 4, Paul writes, "One who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but one who prophesies edifies the church." Paul's making a strong point here that this is for personal edification. It's not for everyone to hoop and holler around in church. The word edification means to build up, and that building up that he speaks of in an unknown tongue speaks to himself or edifies himself. He makes a difference between speaking in tongues and prophesying. Prophesying is what you do before the church because it edifies, it lifts up the church. And we allow you to do that here. And you've heard that when Jan or Veda or Kisha up here or some of you others who come up or come forward to prophesy, you testify because it lifts up the church. But when you start praying in the Spirit with tongues, if you're weak, then you start getting built up. Your faith starts getting built up. And then Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 18, he says, this is the great apostle Paul now, the man who wrote half the New Testament. Verse 18, he says, I thank God that I speak tongues and more than all of you. Now, Paul wasn't in the upper room. He wasn't one of the originals who were in the upper room, because some people will say, well, speaking in tongues was only for those who were in the upper room at that particular time. This was many, many years after. And Paul gives some very good guidelines in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, going down to verse 19. He says, however, in church I desire to speak 5 words with my mind so that I may instruct others also, rather than 10,000 words in a tongue. He's not putting praying in tongues down. He's just saying that it has its place in your personal life, in your personal prayer. He said, he's saying that if I get up and start talking in tongues, it brings about a lot of confusion. And nobody knows what I'm saying. And somebody comes in from the outside and think, that guy's drunk up there. That's what he's saying. But there's a secret coded language that God has for every believer. And he says, I thank God I speak in tongues more than all of y'all. Then he closes out chapter 14, with these words in verses 39 and 40, he says, therefore, my brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy, and do not forbid to speak in tongues. But all things must be done properly and in an orderly manner. If me or Pastor Adam is bringing a message from the Word and someone just busts out speaking in tongues, that's not in an orderly manner. We've only had one time that happened, many years ago, when the founding pastor was here and was bringing a message, and someone got up during his message and spoke in tongues. And he stopped and he paused and he waited, as Pastor Denise said, for an interpreter. And there was silence. And so he moved on with his message. You see, some people think that speaking in tongues is supposed to be in front of everybody, but only if a spiritual gift is there and only if there's an interpreter. You see, when I come to church, I don't need to speak in tongues because I've already prayed in the Spirit before I get here. And then in verse 40, Paul adds a very important thing, especially for wild Pentecostals. It says, let all things be done in a decent and orderly manner. You got to love the Pentecostals. They're full of fire and energy. But if you go to one of their services, you might be scared. And I've talked to a lot of you that have, and you were scared when you went there. But they are precious brothers and sisters of ours. And we love them, and we love their faith. But all things decently and in order. It's a secret language. It speaks mysteries. It's a coded language. The enemy that can't decode. And the church, as a church, we should not forbid this, but let it be done decently in order, because it's for people's private edification. And so, I've come today to tell you that religion will rob you of the fullness of the Holy Spirit. See, a lot of people like to dress up like this and depend on certain things and certain traditions and certain creeds to make them feel comfortable for God. That can be religion. And that can rob you of the Holy Spirit, because you displace yourself and you depend on the person who's fitting the role to do your spiritual growing for you and spiritual speaking for you. And one of the greatest blessings that can happen to you is when you hear the sound of the moving of the Spirit and you open up your mouth and you let Him fill you and anoint you with a heavenly language. It happened to me. It can happen to you. Now, I don't stand behind this pulpit and preach in tongues, and I don't go walking through the hospital when I visit people speaking in tongues or talking in tongues, or even as my role as the chaplain, I don't pray over those who are dying in tongues because they don't understand what you're saying. Now, if they're transitioning and if there's no response, I may pray over them in tongues because it's a blessing. It's a word from the Lord in helping them transition. It's not about them understanding what you say. But under my breath, when I go for a morning walk and in my car all day long, I pray in the Spirit. I sing in the Spirit here when we're doing praise. As we worship, I make sure you can't hear me because you're singing loud as well. Ronnie may have heard me. I sit behind him. I don't know. But I worship in the Spirit at times. Sometimes I pray in the Spirit while one of our prayer counselors up here are praying over you. I don't bust in and say, oh, okay, excuse me. I pray over them in the Spirit. I do it under my breath. Many of you are familiar with Max Lucado, one of the most popular Christian authors, teachers, and former pastor. And he's well respected probably by all denominations. I know the Baptists for sure hold him in high regard because he has sound faith and for his doctrinal teachings. But in his book, Help Is Here, he explains the power of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. And he shared this fact. He said, one morning, the most surprising gifts came over to me at the age of 64. He said, over a period of several months, I asked Jesus for a greater filling of the Spirit. I said to God, you know, God, I have more years behind me than I have before me. And I requested that He not hold back, that He pour out on me all the gifts that He had ever ordained me to have. And in the pre-dawn hours of the summer morning, as I sat on the veranda out and prayed, I began to experience a heavenly prayer language. Uh-oh, now what are those denominations going to think or say about Him? He goes on to say, from deep within me, there welled up a flow of utterances, staccato-like syllables. And the feeling was one of delight and of worship. And this intimacy has continued each morning, indeed several times each day. I can always start it, and I can always stop it. But I never want to. He said, the gift doesn't make me more important or special. I don't glow in the dark or levitate above the trees. He said, in fact, I've kind of chuckled at the possibility that the Spirit helps me pray because my prayers are so scattered sometimes. I welcomed His assistance. I also welcomed the regular reminder that our God dwells in the supernatural realm. The unseen and the miraculous are His stock and trade. We have a big God. The Holy Spirit is directing the church in extraordinary ways, he says. He continues by saying, what would happen if every believer identified and employed his or her Spirit-given gift? What if each one of us operated in according to the prompting and the provision of the Holy Spirit? He said, years ago I heard a fable about a dying father and his three sons. He, having given his life to building a company, it was time for him to turn it over to one of them. But which one would he turn it over to? The father had a plan. He called them all to his bedside, and he handed a dollar bill to each one of the young sons and gave him an assignment. He said, I want you to go with this dollar bill that I gave you and buy something that fills this room. And the one who takes up the most space will be entrusted to the company. Well, each one of the boys, they obeyed the father's directions and instructions. And the first son came back with two bales of hay that he purchased for 50 cents apiece. And they covered the floor of the room, totally, filled the room. The second son came back and he brought two pillows, cut them open, and he let the feathers just fill the air of the room as he shook the feathers out of the pillow. Well, the father was pleased, but he wasn't quite satisfied. So he turned to the third son and he said, what'd you do with your dollar? And the boy, the son, he had nothing in his hands. So he said, well, I gave 50 cents to an orphanage and 20 cents to a church and 20 cents to a soup kitchen. One of his other brothers objected, and said, Dad, he didn't do anything to fill up the room. The third son said, well, yes, I did. He said, I spent the last dime I had on two items. And he reached into his pocket and he took out a matchbook and a candle. And he lit the candle and he turned off the lights. And from corner to corner, that room was filled with light. Not with hay or feathers, but with light. And so he asked, what are you filling your world with? What are you filling your life with? Is it fluff and feathers? Is it hay and stubble? Fill it with the Spirit and the light of God. The Philistines knew David had been anointed. And so likewise in Romans chapter 8, verse 26, in the same way, it says, the Spirit helps our weakness. For we don't know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. He searches the hearts. He knows the mind of the Spirit because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. I can pray about any situation and know the perfect will of God. How? If I let the Spirit take over and He will begin to pray. And then the following verse in verse 28 of Romans chapter 8 says, and we know, started out in verse 26 saying, when we do not know. Did you catch that? You start out saying, we do not know how we should pray. But then we let the Spirit, we hear the sound, we yield to the sound, and it ends up in verse 28. And we know all things work together for good to them who are called according to His purpose. As the worship team makes their way up to the stage this morning, last week Pastor Adam brought us praise before battle, preparing our holy ground. Today is about winning that battle with the sound from above. And I'm here today telling you that it's time to open your mouth and be filled or refilled with the power of the Holy Spirit that's in the Scriptures. And the only reason this battle is won from our passage in 2 Samuel chapter 5 this morning is because they heard a sound from above. They went with the wind. And the Bible says they stirred themselves. And sometimes we just have to stir ourselves. Anybody in here like sweet tea? Some of y'all? Maybe none of y'all? Well, if you ever go to one of those restaurants, sometimes what they'll do is they'll bring you a glass of unsweet tea, and then they'll bring a container, a little plastic container, cram-packed full of 40 of those packets of sugar, all stuck into that container to where you take one of them out, they all fly out. And you'll sit there while you're waiting for your meal, opening up those packets and pouring them into your tea. And, you know, if you think about it, it's not necessarily the sugar that makes the tea sweet. It's the stirring. Because if you just pour the sugar in there, it's going to just sink down to the bottom of your glass. And you take a sip of it, and it still tastes like unsweet tea. It tastes a little bit better, sweeter, but not as much as I put the sugar in there. You can have sugar in your tea, and sometimes it still tastes unsweet. If you don't stir up that sugar so that it can dissolve and make all the tea sweet. And in the same way, you and I can have the Holy Spirit, but every now and then we need to get a good stirring. We need to stir it up. Every now and then we need to hear that mighty rushing wind in the tops of the balsam trees with the sound from above. Church, I believe the Spirit of God has been stirring in this place for a while now. And some of you here may need that suddenly moment. You've been dry, you've been weary, you've been empty, but the Spirit of God wants to fill you fresh and new. Some of you have walls that need to come down. Fear, maybe it's addiction, maybe it's anger, or bitterness. And the Holy Spirit is here to break every one of those chains, to breathe freedom into your life. Some of you may need to make the most important decision of all, to surrender your life to Jesus Christ. And you've heard the sounds of this world, but today heaven is calling your name. If you need forgiveness, if you need the fire of the Holy Spirit, if you just need a breakthrough, you may need that stirring. And so in a moment, as we begin to sing, I want you to step out of your seat, right, and come to the altar, and don't wait and don't delay in doing it, because if you do, you'll reason yourself out of it. Don't let the sound of heaven pass you by. Run to it. Receive it. And let God fill you with His Spirit. Open your heart and say, Holy Spirit, I am ready for all you have within my life. As our prayer counselors come up to receive you this morning, let's close with prayer.